In the oration for the 16th Sunday after Pentecost, the Church prays, "May your grace, we beseech thee, O Lord, ever go before us and follow us, and may it make us ever intent upon good works. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen." In Psalm 125, it is written, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." In St. Paul's epistle today to the Ephesians, he begins, "Brethren, I pray you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which is your glory." In other words, St. Paul, in order to console them, he points out his own stripes and imprisonment and the sufferings he has for long endured, saying that, "I have willingly endured all these things for your sakes, that the grace of Christ," he continues, "may make you all saints. I sow in tears indeed, and I know therefore that I shall reap in joy. And you, Ephesians, are and will be my fruits. Rejoice." In the gospel for today's Mass that we will be commemorated at the last gospel, our Lord speaks a parable to men that were invited to this wedding he was attending, marking how they chose, the gospel reads, the first seats at the table, saying to them his parable. Now, unlike other lessons taught by our Lord, this one is a bit more subtle, the spiritual lesson he is trying to inculcate, but what is apparent is his rebuke. So, a parable is a tool our Lord uses very often to teach, and a parable is that whereby pointing out what is seen, what is familiar and visible to us by those realities, using those to teach something that is a reality that is not seen, something that is spiritual. So what he uses is what was taking place, in fact, before his very eyes. That is, he was invited to the feast, a wedding feast, by a Pharisee, and other Pharisees were there too. And he watched as they all vied with one another to fill the best and choicest seats to their greater honor, as they thought. So our Lord tells them, well, even naturally speaking, that is foolish, because you risk losing that honor and, in fact, gaining for yourself great shame. He then goes on to tell them how they rather should act. But here is where the spiritual lesson lies. He tells them to do what seems contrary to their very goal, to their inclination. Take the last place, the place that is least honorable. In short, he tells them that the true way to honor, peace, happiness, etc., is humility and humiliations. He expressed the same teaching in other words later on in his public life. They were more explicit. He said, "He who would have his life shall lose it, and he who would lose his life for my sake shall find it. Take up thy cross and follow me." The cross is the way to honor, joy, peace, and happiness. And this cross, it must needs be planted and nurtured with tears. But such tears, they can be and should be for us a most sweet pledge of the great reward that is in store for us. Sister Celine, St. Therese's sister, she learned this from her elder sister, and this is how she put it. "It is the little things, little at least with regard to other men, considered little, which, however, cost us very much, many tears, it is these that count before God. It is from these, most especially, we should look for our reward. Immediately following this excerpt of the Gospel read in the Mass of Pentecost, it continues in the Gospel of St. Luke. Our Lord speaks now not to those invited, but he turns to his very host, and he says to him, "When thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends, nor thy brethren, nor thy kinsmen, nor thy neighbors who are rich, lest perhaps they also invite thee again, and recompense be made to thee. But when thou make a feast, call the poor, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, because they have not wherewith to make thee recompense. For recompense shall be made thee at the resurrection of the just." Our Lord, in these words, does not forbid us to entertain family or friends, whether they be rich or poor. For we can do these things with a pure intention, as an act of charity, and then they are meritorious. So why does our Lord seem to command this to his host? The reason being that this was a remedy for the bad habit and tendency of his host, a Pharisee. Inviting the poor and the sick offers no possibility of having a bad intention, of a selfish intention. And so by doing that, by doing what our Lord commanded him, he would purify his intentions. He would learn what really matters. And that can be applied universally. To act otherwise, to not act with that intention, to go in search of those natural goods, even from our neighbor's recompense, from our neighbor, is dangerous. If, like the Pharisees, we do offer hospitality in hope of receiving the like, either we will be disappointed, become sad or angry, or if all does go according to our plans, well, we have received our reward, and we can expect for nothing more. We ourselves, we ought therefore to look for ways to perform some of our good acts in secret, some good acts that we know for certain no recompense will come. And that way we also can help to purify our intentions that we apply across the board. They that sow in tears, remember, shall reap in joy. Concerning this very image given to us by the psalm of the sowing and reaping, St. Robert Bellarmine, he comments, "The sower ordinarily does his work in grief and sorrow, being obliged to put his corn into the ground without having any certainty of ever getting the smallest return from it. And therefore, he seems to labor and to tire himself in order to lose what he has. The grains, as our Lord said, they fall into the ground and they seem to die. In fact, they must die. But if they die, they will bear much fruit. And so when he reaps, the same man, he with great joy, he will see all the corn which has appeared. It will be multiplied, the amount he reaps. It will not compare to what he had sown." There is this difference between sowing of seed, St. Robert continues, and the distribution of alms or any good work in general, that many things can occur to the former, to the sowing, to the farmer, that would retard or prevent the rich harvest. Whereas alms given with that intention or good works performed with charity, they are always safe, for they are stored in heaven. Today we celebrate the Nativity of Our Lady. Concerning her very birth, the circumstances that surrounded it, we see again this adage, sowing in tears to reap joy. Her parents, Saint Joachim and Saint Anne, they were barren for many years. They prayed, they did works of charity together and acts of penance, begging God to take away their reproach among the people and to bestow a child. They persevered in this manner of living throughout their marriage for many years until they were growing old, and all hope of a child now seemed to vanish. Were all their prayers and sacrifices, they might wonder in vain. One day, Saint Joachim, he went to the temple to offer a sacrifice, beseeching God to hear his prayer, knowing that prayers and sacrifices offered in the temple are very efficacious. But his plan, it fell contrariwise, as the priest, when he recognized who he was, he would have none of it. For he was considered a sinner, a cursed man by God, for he was barren. And so the priest did not want to even offer a sacrifice in his name. Saint Anne, on her part, having considered their sad lot, she proposed to her husband, and he agreed, that they pray thus, Lord, if thou wilt but grant us a child, we will consecrate this child to thy service in the temple. This great act of generosity, it was the last required by God. He heard their prayer. Our Lady was immaculately conceived. The prayer was heard in a way better than they could have ever asked for or expected. The fairest creature of all creation, the mother of our Savior, was given to them. Concerning the qualities of this new baby, Mary, what do we find? She was born, first of all, free from sin by her immaculate conception. She was born in the state of grace. She was beloved by God and, in fact, had so much grace, such ardent love of God, that it surpassed that of all the saints and angels of all times combined. She was born with the use of reason by a special privilege so that she knew God and loved God most perfectly. And she also was aware of the state of the world, of sinners, of you and I. And she began from her first moment, from the first moment of her birth, she offered her life, herself, to the service of God in reparation for our sins and to save us. Her very body, her eyes, her voice, as an infant, because of the great beauty of her soul, which surpassed that of any other, they were also most beautiful and attractive, and they ravished the hearts of all who beheld her. Hence, we can hardly fathom the great love and endearment she would have to her parents for that short time they spent with her during her infancy. But having become 3 years old, they kept their word and they delivered her to the temple, to the priest, to serve God henceforth. Her parents now must suffer that separation from their dearest for the rest of their lives. And yet they endured so much and so many a sacrifice for her and enjoyed her but little. In heaven, however, they enjoy her forever, and they enjoy her as their own child. And she loves them in turn as parents and loves them for all the generosity they showed in giving her up so that she could please God the more and become his very mother. They sowed in tears, indeed, but they reaped in joy. Let us, therefore, dear faithful, not be dismayed when the rosary or other devotions we practice to Our Lady, when they begin to lose their sweetness for us. They who sow in tears, they will reap in joy. What is important for us when they become dry, when they feel like they are useless or empty, that discipline and regularity. That is of utmost importance, and that is when they are truly proven, when they are true devotions. They are done entirely, not for ourselves, but entirely for Our Lady. The Church prays into the oration for this Mass of the Nativity. Bestow upon thy servants, we beseech thee, O Lord, the gift of heavenly grace, that as the Nativity of the Blessed Virgin stood for the beginning of our salvation, so may this solemn feast grant us an increase of peace. May God bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.